Good morning, Columbia and Greene County. You're tuned to 90.7 WGXC, Creative Community Radio. Your radio station, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson. It's Labor Day. Happy Labor Day to everybody. It's a live show today, Zoom. That was a really interesting program. You always find something completely different from the program before it on here. Groundswell coming up. I'll tell you about that in a little while. I'm going to just play a bunch of music today, I think. Some hard-working bands, kind of reflecting Labor Day. And as always, remember, Zoom is the place where Hieronymus Bosch and Jack Kirby get equal respect. It's the place where Hanna-Barbera cartoons and the Metropolitan Museum are on par with each other. And it is also the place where everyone is encouraged to dip their fingers into the paint and make something. So, remember, the chief enemy of creativity is good taste. I'll be back again to tell you about Groundswell. It's going to be really cool. So stay tuned. I'm going to start with some Godspeed, You Black Emperor, in honor of tomorrow's show at the Basilica. Stay tuned.
That is which the prophet, the Urim and Thummim, has penetrated, that through this gray sea of blackness that I penetrated through these corridors, and I went through that last segment where I went through these dark serpentines, I passed through that corridor where they sat, where they are. When you penetrate to the Most High God, believe you've gone insane, but I tell you, if you follow the secret window, you die the eager nature, you will penetrate this darkness. Oh yes, there's many a man or woman that's been put in the same asylum when this has happened to them. And they're sitting there today, people think they're insane, but they saw something. Understanding of God, because when you see the face of God, you will die, and there will be nothing left in you except the God man, the God woman, the heavenly man, the heavenly woman, the heavenly child. There'll be prayer on your lips day and night. There'll be a song of jubilee waiting for your King. There will be nothing you will be looking for in this world, excepting for your God. This is all of you. And so I went through that with you. I encountered hell and the uncertainties of the highest order. And I went through that with my children's child in the question is asked in Orm and Summon concerning the pit. What is horrible pit of my regret? And Orm and Summon even asked me a question. If it's asked from the right being or the right soul out of Orm and Summon, I can give you unspoken words that have never been spoken tonight.
This turned out to be a very efficient conversion of electrical energy to etheric energy. Now, I very recently started collecting radio sounds. I don't know why, but I did. I walked in with a radio sound, and one of the associates at Space Nine Laboratory says, there's a weather control device. Here's how people do it. I'd already known that the humidity sensor was terrible. Its accuracy was not the biggest thing. The humidity energy sensor was terrible. Its accuracy was not the biggest thing. And the other unusual thing was the radio sounds I had and the radio sound receiver. So, we first did ask around about radio sounds. Next thing I found out by word of mouth is these things were designed at Brookhaven National Laboratories up in Long Island, New York, and just up the road from this place. And I started to talk to people I know at Brookhaven. Ran across a retired gentleman from Brookhaven who wishes to remain nameless, so I won't name him, he'll stay anonymous. He told me that the design was originally done by a character named Wilhelm Reich. Of course, that piqued my interest even more, Wilhelm Reich. The The story goes that in about 47, Mr. Reich handed the U.S. government a woman flight device, a little package that would do door busting. He felt that if he could reduce the amount of door and increase the door going in the storm would be a viable and then would be a little damage, it would be a less man in the storm. But if it would be more deadly orgone. That's the bad stuff.
And where does that come from?
No one really knows where it comes from. I've heard a number of theories. Well, essentially, orgone can be considered like live energy. That orgone is seven times of energy like that. This is almost like a little subsection of this part of the story. Now, of course, I dug further and further into it. As I already noted, I talked of the receiver. There are instances where we know they launch these things from the sea or the station or planes. At one point in the 50s, it must have been maybe 200 to 500 of these things launched every day. The radio range, being a radio person, I can tell you about that, actually. The radio range on these transmitters, even up in the air, maybe is 100 miles. So that means when they launch one of these frequencies, there has to be a receiver close by. They're going to send up a data transmitter, not a, they have a receiver. That means if they're sending 200 or more of these things up each day, it's got to be one pile of receivers. These receivers should be very common. Now, I happen to be a receiver collector. I have over 100 receivers in my personal collection of receivers. I have never seen a radio sending receiver. I've heard of them, I've seen them. I got almost every other receiver that was used in the 40s and 50s. The early ones are on 403.
Exactly?
Oh, plus or minus 2 megahertz. And the later ones are on 1680, plus or minus about 6 megahertz.
They were crystal
No, they were just rerunning oscillators. The 400 megahertz, I was going to get into the details, technical details, how the radio sound worked. Alright, this is a good time to go into that. I don't have any illustrative materials up to attempt to describe to you people how the circuitry worked. It's a very unique system that they had. Essentially, the temperature element was a thermistor type. It is a negatively varying resistance with the temperature. As the resistance goes up, as the temperature goes up, the resistance goes down. Now, I had a mass spectrograph done on one of these thermistors, and I compared it to a YSI thermistor. And they both have carbon in them. You know, they both are essentially carbon, but the radio sound thermistor had some silver in it, had some gold in it, had some platinum in it, had some iridium. I'm trying to remember the other two elements. It has a fair amount of silver in it. silver was about 10% by weight. Now, for a thermos, it's not going to make it any more accurate. If anything, it's going to make the curve go really strange. You poking with metals like that. Of course, you read Wilhelm Reich literature, you'll find that Reich used sensors that had gold and silver in them. That's one interesting note there. The humidity element is a plastic plate with silvered edges with a grid of conductive lines going across the plastic plate. You know, this way and this way. You know, this way, this way, this way, this way, this sort of thing. They put on a very odd mix of chemicals. The chemistry lab has not come back yet with the mix of chemicals this they put on there. Now, the unusual thing about the temperature and the humidity element is most electrolytic resistors I've ever seen, the resistance goes down as they get damp. These things, the resistance goes up as they get damp. Now, what we're theorizing at this point, which we've proven from the esoteric side, we have no physical data to back it up, is that the thermistor rod, the temperature sensor, the temperature rod, acts like an antenna for the door. It acts like a door antenna out of phase. That's the dead orgo. The humidity sensor acts as an antenna for the orgo. Of course, this parallels the whole idea of, you'll see in esoteric circles, people use salt water solutions with different electrodes in them to detect these energetics. With a fair degree of success. Looks like here, Reich took it much further. Now, the pressure sensor is essentially they call a barrel switch or a pressure sensitive cycling switch. As the thing would rise, the pressure would change, and the needle in the little barometer would go across a switch segment. If the segments of a switch, that drove a relay that would in sequence put either temperature human or the humidity sensor back and forth. It was switched between these two sensors. It was switched to, which I'll explain in a minute how it's done, to what they call a reference mode in the transmitter.
That would render the greater part of the human races
visible on the
individuals.
It transmits a signal that destroys the door, and also transmits a signal after that, or before, however you look at it, that builds up the orbital energy. Now, let's consider the transmitter. The transmitter is a very interesting little piece of it. It is two oscillators. An oscillator that runs at the carrier frequency, the 403 megahertz, or 1680 megahertz. There's a second oscillator, which is a 7 megahertz oscillator, coupled into the grid of the carrier oscillator.
Was one of the first type of modulation
oscillator, the 7 MHz oscillator, has an RC network that causes it to do the relaxation experiment. Now, as the oscillator runs, it builds up DC across the grid when the capacitor that's in the RC network for the relaxation oscillator, that's the power source of another schematic circuit, and you expect to talk to as that capacitor will build up high enough in charge and put a high negative bias on the grid of the tube, cut the tube off, the oscillator will stop oscillating, of course. The RC network will discharge and pull the voltage down on the capacitor just like a normal bulb oscillator. So essentially that 7 MHz oscillator would pulse on and off. Now, the lower the resistance, the faster the pulsing would be, the higher the resistance, the slower the pulsing would be. I'm trying to make this as clear as I can without having a schematic to bring it out. I know, are the two people here following what I'm saying that have some technical background? Now, they did not couple the 7 megahertz directly into the grid of the carrier oscillator. It couples in through an RC network where the first resistor is in series with the plate coils. Between the B plus and the B plus end of the plate coil, they have a capacitor going to ground, a bypass capacitor that integrates the function. Then they RC couple with a series capacitor and a resistor going to ground on the oscillator of the carrier oscillator. Well, what happened, whenever the modulation oscillator would click in, turn on, it would cut off the carrier oscillator and shut it off. Of course, the etheric signals are already differentiated, so immediately put the differentiated signal through the integrated network, it comes out its real form in that final amplifier, you know, that final oscillator.
We don't know what the intent was behind it. That's what it appears to be. It's an integrator, which is a de-emphasis.
What
they differentiate as your emphasis network. See, as a technician, you talk de-emphasis and emphasis. In engineering, we talk of integration and differentiation. And, you know, being trained in that, that's what I talk of. So the difference, the etheric signal or the hyperspatial signal, the orgone is already differentiated. They can't do anything. It's 90 degrees out of phase to begin with. This integration network brings it back in phase for the transmitter to transmit it. Now, also, you have to keep in mind that when the tube goes from a semi-saturated mode, as it is when the carrier oscillator is oscillating, the cutoff, there are other things taking place from the zero-point potential. When the tube is cut off, any of the etheric signal that's stored in the tube will be pushed out the antenna. Also, when you cut the tube off, and you go from saturation to cutoff, and from cutoff to saturation again, you're essentially ripping open the vacuum from the viewpoint of the Dirac space that you derived in the 30s. And you'll get an amplification. These transmitters only pull out about a half a watt of CWRF power. The etheric content, or the non-real power, was equivalent to about 250 watt transmitter. That's how efficient these little things work. Soybean was one of the first staple foods selected for experiments in genetic structure. Okay, the frequency should be the same. The phase relationship. Let's see, what would it be? We'll come out of the differential equation relating the baseband to the carrier frequency, which has been distributed all over the world. That tells you that sends out the etherics in bursts. In other words, when this transmitter runs, the CW part of it, when the oscillator is on, it doesn't put out much etherics. But at the point where the oscillator shuts off, it sends out a huge burst of etheric signal. That's your tangent function. I just have to think for a minute of what it would be, the question, to answer your question. This was under United University's Brookhaven National Lab. It was eventually turned over to the Signal Corps. But most of these things were U.S. Army Signal Corps stuff. Even the one set up in the weather service was Signal Corps. The Signal Corps had all the training.
So if you're talking about this whole system, how does that now get into what would happen to the
Okay, let's finish this off a little bit. Any questions or anything?
We'll be right back. Thank you. your hands. Suffer your interpretation.
Oh, my.
You are tuned to 90.7 WGX. See, that song was for my bestest pal in the whole world. One of my only pals in the whole world as I get older and more antisocial. My buddy Scotty down in Winter Garden, who just went under the blade to have some cancer cut out of his throat. I love you, Scotty. You're probably not listening, but I'm sending it out into the universe. Scotty was the weirdo wandering around the industrial arts wing of high school in 1985, tripping on acid. And I made friends with him, fell in love with him, and he's still my bestest pal 30 years later. It was from the first Twisted Sister album. Yep, Twisted Sister. They were a hard-working band until they got swallowed up. Before that was Fugazi. Suggestion. Definitely a hard-working band if you can get past the preaching. I did get thrown out of a Fugazi concert, and I also got handed an envelope with a $5 bill in it. Because when they threw people out, they used to pay them back. So, I apologized. I got hit, and I hit somebody back, so Ian McKay didn't like it. Before that, Husker Du, Minneapolis. Grant Hart. Composition, Green Eyes, from the Flip Your Wig album. Husker Du, definitely a hard-working band. SST Records, Blue Collar Punk. Back when blue collar used to be not a bad thing, not a privileged thing. Before that, Violent Femmes from Wisconsin, another hard-working band from a very temperate zone up there in Wisconsin. Cheese and Violent Femmes. Jesus Walking on the Water from their second album, Hallowed Ground. Amazing piece of work. Before that, Misfits out of New Jersey. Hard-working band. Spinal Remains and Hybrid Moments. Misfits, perennial favorites. And before that, Bauhaus, just for fun. I don't know much about Bauhaus. I've always loved them, but British. Predating goth, kind of bringing goth into the picture. So, coming up, some things. The next 2 hours at the top of the hour, you'll have news, and then you'll have the main event of the day, the Monday Musical Matinee. Always tailored to the weather. We'll see what she's got cooked up today. I see her out there getting fixing to get going here. September 19th. Do you know about Groundswell? Up at the castle up on the hill? Frederick Church's old line? September 19th, Saturday, from 1 p.m. till 5 p.m. Several artists will be getting together and having little zones along the carriage trail and hopefully expressing themselves. Lineup is the John Cage Trust with Seth Chrisman, John Cleater, I think you know who that is, Brian DeWan, I think you know who that is, Gambletron, which I've been checking out online, and definitely some cool stuff going on there. Gambletron, Tyson Hoff, that's me. I got lucky to do this event. Bern Klug, Lovid, that's Tali and Kyle. I met them a year or two ago. We went up and had dinner with them. It was a lot of fun. They're awesome. I hope to reconnect with those guys. Lovid, Douglas Repetto, and Quintron, the mighty Quintron. I saw Quintron in New Orleans before the storm. He was part of a bill that was headlining Crash Worship. Quintron and Miss Pussycat doing really wild puppets. And Flossie the Unicorn, a tiny band. It was one of the best concerts I've ever seen. I don't know if you know about Crash Worship, but... Whew. So, anyway, that's enough for my babble. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned today and every day. This is your station, community-supported, creative airwaves, taking back what's ours, folks. So happy Labor Day to everybody. I hope you enjoy what you have. The glass is half full and not half empty. Thanks so much. Be back again next week. 90.7 WGXC, Acre, Catskill, and Hudson.
Thank you.